الرحمن الرحيم is the most often repeated and mentioned in many ways in the Quran from the 99 attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how important it is, and that's the purpose actually of my lecture today. Why in particular of the 99 attributes of Allah, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim becomes the most prominent. قُلْ اُدْعُوا اللَّهَ وَادْعُوا الرَّحْمَنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't remember the whole verse, Mahmoud remembered the whole verse. Whether you claim Allah by his name, by his holy name, Allah, or Ar-Rahman, or you call him the Rahman, it's one and the same. That's the only one of God's attributes that it was put. Allah and Rahman are equal in their weight, in their significance. So why is that? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 12. قُلْ لِمَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلْ لِلَّهِ كَتَبَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Oh, what a beautiful word. لِيَجْمَعَنَّكُمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ الَّذِينَ خَسْرُوا أَنفُسِهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. I'm gonna focus on the first part. Say, to whom belongs everything that's in heavens and earth? And heavens is everything that's not in earth. Heaven is not just the sky above our head. This is just probably part of our world. But قُلْ لِمَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلْ لِلَّهِ. This means he is the Lord, he is the sustainer, he is the God of everything, whether we see or not to see. And that majestic introduction to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it comes with that beautiful statement. كَتَبَ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. God who ordained things on everything, but this one, let me read the translation. He has decreed upon himself to be merciful. He decreed mercy upon himself. Allah decreed everything on his subjects. But this one quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he decreed it on himself. He say, I demanded for myself a manifestation of me as a God is to have rahmah, and rahmah in everything I order to you, in everything I allow it to you, and in everything that I disallow it to you, in every virtue that I demanded you to do, the intent of it is kindness and rahmah and mercy to all his creature. And Allah will gather you in the day of judgment, which there is no doubt about it, except those who lost themselves. I'm reading some commentaries that ordination, that decree of God to be merciful, have mentioned in the Quran in that context only twice, in the same statement, and the same surah. So this is the second place that statement made it. It's again Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, 54, ayah 54. وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِآيَاتِنَا فَقُلْ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَمَلَ مِنْكُمْ سُوءًا بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ تَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَصْلَحَ فَإِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. I think I'm gonna read the whole translation because this is more explicit what decreeing rahmah on himself means. And when those who believe in our messages, and it says messages, not only believe in the Quran, and when those who believe in our messages say, peace be upon you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering the Prophet, when those believers come to you, say, peace be upon you. This is a greeting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your Lord has decreed upon himself mercy, that any of you who does wrong out of ignorance and then repent after that and corrects himself, indeed he is forgiving and merciful. We all do wrong. Freedom of choice and liberty of to do whatever you want to do, you are bound to make mistakes. And if God hold those errors and those mistakes upon us, and I think there is a verse in the Quran, no one will ever reach salvation with Allah because we all sinner, we all commit mistakes. So these are the two places in the Quran where Allah explicitly say mercy is what God have ordained and demanded from himself towards all his subjects. And this two mention is in one, in the same surah, Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, O Muhammad, when you say qul, it's usually to the Prophet. Say, Muhammad, O my servants, who have transgressed against themselves, who have really broke the limits and broke the bounds of righteousness, and sinners. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. No matter how much you send, do not give up. Allah is all merciful and it's open. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is forgiving and merciful. That's absolute blanket of forgiveness, no matter how you sin. As long as you realize your error, you realize your sin, and you come back and try to redeem yourself and honestly ask for repentance, Allah is open for that. And he's talking about عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم. He means people who are not accidental sinner. No, people who lived in sin and didn't repent for a long time and almost gave up. Oh, God will never forgive us. No, don't give up. Don't have a despair because Allah is all forgiving. And this verse in Surah 7 is Surah Al-A'raf. Al-A'raf, which is a beautiful surah. I'm amazed. I wasn't familiar with that surah. والذين عملوا السيئات ثم تابوا من بعدها وآمنوا إن ربك من بعدها لغفور رحيم. Again, I think it's the same line. But those who committed misdeeds and then repented after them, after committing those deeds, and believed, indeed your Lord thereafter is forgiving and merciful. So the forgiveness and merciful is what God have ordained on himself. this is again in the same surah, Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, 156. But it has a very good story, background of the reason for this surah. When Musa took the Israelites out of Egypt and crossed the Sinai, I made that trip myself, and they were saved from the bondage in Egypt and the Pharaoh's mistreatment. But they became haughty and arrogant. They thought that because they are smart, they were saved from Pharaoh. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they start arguing with Moses. Why God does not give us this, does not give us that? And when Moses left his brother Aaron, who was helping him in the task, and went to meet with Allah to receive the Ten Commandments. He went to what we call it Mount Musa in Sinai, and this is when he received the revelation, the tablets. And he came, when he came back after 40 days, he found that the Israelite reverted back to their old habits and the glory that they were seeing among the Egyptian. They took the gold and the jewelry among them and they make a calf and they worship that calf. So all what Moses have done and crossing the sea went into waste. So he really got mad, and even he pulled his brother from his hair and tried to put the blame in him. How did you let the Israelite forgive and forget the message that we came for? And he said, they overpowered me, my brother. So Moses prayed to Allah. He said, I gave up. Allah, if you wanna destroy him, they are your servant, they are your, and destroy me with me because I failed my task. Destroy me and my brother with him. Then Allah forgive him. And there are very few people from among them. They still was Moses. And this is when that verse came. وَكْتُبْ لَنَا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. When Allah forgive Moses and his brother and those who followed him. But he, so they are praying. وَكْتُبْ لَنَا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً. وفي الآخرة حسنة إن هدنا إليك. هدنا is a variation in Arabic to the word يهود. هدى means to guide you to the right path, and this is where the derivation يهود is like a verb driven from the straight path. Okay, so it's variation on the word يهود, which is Jewish in English and so on. So hudna ilayk means we found the straight way and we found the right way to you. And listen to what God answered to the few people who kept the faith after that tremendous experience crossing the Sinai, and after they were saved, they reverted back to their old beliefs and the Egyptian belief, their masters. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى say قال عذابي أصيب به من أشاء ورحمتي وسعت كل شيء. Let me translate this and I'm going to repeat it again. Allah سبحانه وتعالى is telling the Israelite, it's telling the Israelite who are still hold on faith, my punishment I afflict with it whom I will. And I'm coming to the explanation of Mahmoud Wasiq. Okay. My punishment I afflict with whom I will, but my mercy encompasses all things. When I punish whom I will, and I decide that they deserve punishment. If this is an arbitrary thing that God subhanahu wa ta'ala will decide whom he will punish and whom he will forgive. No, because he is all wise and he is all alim and he is all knowing and he is all just. So even with his will is a reflection of all these qualities. So even when he say, man asha, whoever I will or whoever I want to save, we have to take it within the context that he is all just and he is all wise and he is all rahim and rahman and rahim. So even his will is not an arbitrary, as we understand it here among human. This is only when I do whatever I want to do. That's only dictators will do. Only, you know. But when it comes for Allah, it still has the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I afflict, my punishment I afflict with it, whom I will. But listen to this sweeping generalization, but mercy, my mercy encompasses all things. So the norm is mercy. And when God decided to inflict punishment on people, this is his, the exception situation, and God knows what leads to that. This is a very, very beautiful verse, and it fits right with what Brother Mahmoud was talking about the destiny and God's will. ورحمتي وسعت كل شيء فسأكتبها للذين يتقون ويأتون الزكاة والذين هم بآياتنا يؤمنون. And so I will decree it especially for those who fear me. And I don't like the word fear. I think the better word will be the people who are most conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we do things because we are fearing the punishment, and that's justifiable. But it's the deep faithful, they do it because of the love of Allah, because they know what Allah is, all love and it's all merciful. But the translation here, again, I think, I don't know which translation this, that's probably Sahih International. So I will decree it especially for those who fear me and give zakah, and those who believe in our messages, in ayatina, they believe in messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. I wrote a handwritten note regarding that verse, so I want to see what I wrote here. Yeah, this verse here, this is Ali Imran chapter 3, 159, has a story too, a reason for this verse. In the second battle between Quraysh and the Meccan and Medina, it was the Battle of Uhud. And in the Battle of Uhud, Uhud is a mountain surrounding Medina. I've never been there. And it's high. And then in the valley going towards Mecca, and the Meccans, the Quraysh, they coming to attack the Muslim, determined to vanish them with a big force, much bigger force than what the Muslim had. And so the Prophet's plan was to put the people on horses and the combat in front of the Quraysh, but to protect the back of his army, he put some archers on the top of the mountain, so to make sure no one will encircle them from the back. And the Muslims, during the Battle of Uhud, they overcome the Quraishi. They were winning them in spite of their number, and they actually pushed them back. So the archer, this is again the culture of the Arabs, they found that the Quraysh are retrieving and leaving behind the spoils of the war. And as they happened, they said the battle is over. So these people who are protecting the back of the army or of the fighting force, they start coming down from their positions to get some of the spoils of the war, and they left their places. The leader of Quraysh at that, the military leader of the Quraysh at that time, was the very famous Khalid ibn al-Walid. He was still in the rank of the Kuffar. So he encircled the Muslim forces and turned the battle around to a huge defeat to the Muslims in the face of that force. And the Prophet himself was hurt. It was attacked and very severe hurt, and there were lots of losses from among the Muslim ranks. So these people, by any measure, whether the tribalistic measure of Arabia, whether it's the war measure, they are deserters. They are subordinating during the war. What is their punishment? What is the punishment of people who leave the battle at the middle of the war and run away for whatever reason? It's death. It was in the among the Arabs, among the Romans, among even today's modern armed forces. They were deserters. And look at the beauty. These people, they deserve death because they disobeyed the Prophet. They disobeyed their commander-in-chief. For what? Because they were stingy and they want to get to the spoil of the war so they can gain something out of it. So when the Prophet was contemplating with his close ally, what we're going to do with these people who turned the battle against the Muslim? Of course, the consent was they should be punished. And comes that verse. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to the Prophet. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَاعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah is ordering his prophet, cool it off. So, by the mercy from Allah, O Muhammad, you were lenient with them. And if you had been rude in speech and harsh in heart, they would have disabandoned from about you. So pardon them and ask forgiveness for them and consult them in the matter. These people, you need to win them. You are the Prophet of Allah. You are not just a commander-in-chief for worldly gain. You are the Prophet of Allah. Give an example that these people, at least, Allah considered them that they act as human being, weak human being. They got tempted. They thought they won. They have no ill feeling. They thought the battle was won, so it's the time to go down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him, forgive him and ask for repentance for them. You, the Prophet, is the one you're going to ask for repentance for them. And look at this beautiful rule of governing that is ahead of its time. وَشَاوِرُهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ and consult them in the matters, consult them in their affair. This is the first, this is actually the second place where the shura, the principle of shura, that when you should ask with the people and get their consent of what is good for them within the principle framework of God's rules. But it's a form of early democracy in the early 7th century before we can see it applied anywhere else. So here at a very hard time, and this is similar to the situation in the previous verse that I said about the Israelite. When the Israelite, they come and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also telling Moses, God is all forgiving. If I want to summarize the whole message of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting it in that very short, beautiful verse. And every time I give a lecture or Quranic reading here, I take a message from it. If there is a message to take and live by, it would be this short verse that is very easy for you to remember. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you, O Muhammad, your prophet, except as a mercy to the worlds, again, plural. Everything that Allah commanded his prophet in the Quran, everything in the Quran, whether it's a prohibition, whether it's encouragement to do, being righteous, do your prayer, do your, even when I was looking at the Quran, Allah set certain very harsh punishment for major, we call it hudud, major violations, like zina, fornications, like murder, like even homosexual acts. It's in the Quran. And every, and there are very severe punishment for these heinous violations. Allah mentioned it. But in every time he mentioned this, in those crimes, Allah opened the door for repentance and forgiveness, including murder, including killing. Allah also opened, if with the true repentance, when you commit a sin, you are violating two rights. The right of Allah, because Allah might have forbid you to do such things. So you are violating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives his right. That's his prerogative. And since he's all merciful and he's all forgiving, he urged the right of other people. For example, if you steal somebody's property, you are violating two ordinances. The ordinance, because Allah forbid that act, you are violating Allah and you are violating the owner of that unlawful theft. So Allah forgive his, if you are truly repentant, he forgives his, he's open for forgiveness all the time. But you still have to work it out and make it with the rights of the other people. So in case of murder, specifically in the Quran, for example, in the case of murder, when you kill somebody without malice, it's not like you are killing because you are just a terrible person and you go and kill without any regard. It was mentioned, مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا خَطَأً, يعني when you kill it because of circumstantial situations or because of an error, God will forgive you if you work hard and do good and repent from your heart. But you have to give the people who suffered from your act their due compensations. So everything has these two things. So I think this is the last slide that I intend to talk about. I can't resist from the same Surah, chapter 7, Al-A'raf. I was listening to Dr. Khalid Abul Fadl in one of his Friday virtual khutbah, and he was talking about the situation also of those Israelites. You remember I mentioned a verse about those Israelites who really disobeyed Moses and they reverted back to their old ways, and Allah is forgive those righteous one with them. The reason I'm giving this, because I probably read this many times, but I never really grasp what it means until I heard it from Khalid Abul Fadl. Let me read it, if I can, because last time I couldn't read it loud. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةً مِنْهُمْ لِمَا تَعُزُونَ قَوْمًا أَلَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا قَالُوا مَعْذِرَةً إِلَى رَبِّكَ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. And when a community among them, and them in this case, it refers to those Israelites with Moses who reverted back to kufr or disbelief. And when a community among them said, "Why do you advise or warn a people whom Allah is about to destroy or to punish with severe punishment?" Why you waste your time on a lost cause? Okay, the average people are asking the righteous people of the follower of Moses, "These people are lost cause. So why even you waste your time and ask him for to come back to the righteous way?" And they said, "Ma'ziratan." Ma'ziratan in Arabic means "pardon me." Ma'ziratan, and they ask forgiveness and pardon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be absolved before your Lord. We are saying this just as a plea to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to listen to us, to be absolved that we did the most we could do, even for a lost cause. You see the beauty of the Quran. To be absolved before your Lord, and perhaps, and let me underline the word, and perhaps they may fear him. They may become conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people are a lost cause. They are violators. They insist on their sin. God have punished them, and they are doomed. And there are still people in their heart. They will try to save him from that evil end to the last minute. And they say, and perhaps they may become conscientious of God. There is a very slight chance, and we are not going to give away on God's mercy. I close here, and inshallah, and may God give us that feeling in everything we do. You have to remember, seek rahmah. Let me reflect on what is going on right now. It looks like cruelty is the name of the day. Cruelty and revenge and vengeance is, and unfortunately, lots of Muslims are involved in that. It hurts me. I think it's against every human feeling when you catch somebody who's helpless and his or her fate in your hand, and you raise a knife in your hand and say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and you slaughter that person that we have seen in some situation. Nothing cruel or nothing unjust could be in the name of God, because the most invoked attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So if it does not reach that litmus test of mercy and compassion and kindness to all mankind and to all worlds, it is not from Allah. It's driven by satanic inclination. Qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.